Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Okay, we'll see you tonight for dinner. Come on, boys.
See you in a couple of hours. Going shopping.
Away!
Consider this a responsible lady, a shopping center. But our Mrs. Keebler is a thief, a shoplifter, and will not make it home for dinner tonight.
I wonder where Mommy is.
It is May 1989. Those two kids are still waiting. They're like my age. They're 50. NASA launches a probe to Venus from Space Shuttle Magellan, proving once and for all that NASA is, in fact, Jellin with Magellan. Journalists petition the Chinese government for press freedom, and that goes great when China says, no, thank you. The world's rudest nation, France, flexes their nuclear muscles, irradiating tortoises on some lonely atoll. And Dan Quayle says, what a waste it is to lose one's mind at a speech at the NAACP. But you don't care too much about all that because you met Johnny Depp. Johnny
what?
Depp, the 60-pound golden lab Magnum had a play date with that you almost forgot about. No. But you really don't care too much about all that because Baskin and Robbins' Men in Black have been shadowing you ever since they mistakenly revealed their secret 30-second flavor, crab. But no, really, really, you don't care too much about all that because your math teacher, Mrs. Greenspoon, was just arrested in the Long Division with Human Remainders serial killer case. Now that you think about it, that does add up. But okay, but for real. You really don't care too much about all that because your backyard neighbor, Alistair, just straight told you that he is a 640-year-old vampire. But not to worry about it because you and your mom are a useful human shield between him and your other neighbor across the side of the street, Jim Van Helsing. But seriously, you actually don't care too much about all that. And it's been a minute since you discovered what all that was, so in summary, NASA, China, France, and Dan Quayle, because mom is ready for that talk. Is this the birds and the bee talk? Is this the only losers do drugs talk? Well, whatever it is, it's going to have to wait until mom answers the door and gets rid of this impromptu visit from Uncle Robert. Wait a sec, that's not Uncle Robert. It really looks like Uncle Robert, though. Cool eye patch. He really looks a lot like Uncle Robert. Well, Mom has an animated whisper-heavy conversation with him. You flip through the new issue to figure out what awkward teen issue you're about to discuss. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy. I really enjoyed Pam's face as she considered how this diary keeper is going to get out of this one in our next episode. She's really setting herself up for a lot of exposition to come.
I think Dave was jealous of Malenks and then was like, I can top that.
I'm just reading what's in the diary. I don't know why you guys keep on me. I just putting down what I picked up.
That's fine. I thought you were going to say my face when he made that no thank you joke, which I have not recovered. I don't like it.
No, and too good. Too good.
That wasn't one of the reasons on this long list.
Anyway, speaking of Dave, what was going on in David T. Cole's life in May 1989?
Just turned 17 on the 6th of May.
Yep.
If you're keeping track.
Happy birthday.
Here in 2022, which means yes, in 2022, in a couple months, as you're hearing this, I will hit 50 and then I will die. When I was a kid, I thought 50 is when you died. Like, I really thought, like, that's a nice round number. It's probably where people die. And then as I grew a little bit older, I thought, oh, it's 75 where you die. Like, I really just thought people mm-hmm. died on nice, convenient round numbers, as if it was Logan's Run Carousel or something like that. Right. Where you just got called, you know, stuck your finger to a gem and poof, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
But now look at me.
I mean, I still have 3 living grandparents and they're pushing 90.
Yeah. So. Well, enjoy those lonely years thanks to your DNA.
Oh my God. We're starting dark. That's great, because and the one issue we've had so far that doesn't have a completely sad first feature.
It's true.
We have instead begun with the death of Dave and Tara's lonely half a life, honestly, without you. It's going to be, it sounds like.
I generally think it's important to envision your own death once in a while and do it publicly so that when you do die, people have primary material to go back to and reference. Insofar as what you thought about your own impending doom. And sometimes it'll be good, and sometimes it'll be a real thinker, and it'll be real poignant, but sometimes it'll be really dumb, like I just said, and they'll be like, oh, well, that's his legacy, and I'm fine with that. I'm not here.
Well, but like then, when people try to watch Heather's, it's like, did you know she really did die of a brain tumor?
Yeah, but otherwise, what would you have, you wouldn't mention her. It would just, you'd all be talking about Winona Ryder and Christian Slater, and you wouldn't be talking about Brain Cancer Girl.
No, she has a name.
I know she does, Dave. But it doesn't matter. She's Brain Cancer Girl, and oh, I boy. Would be a 50-year-old podcaster guy who died choking on nutritional yeast by putting too much on his popcorn.
See, Dave says that as a joke because the people listening don't know all the times I have seen him powder his popcorn, take a bite, and then go... Because it's too flavorful.
I warned you last episode that when you use the straight malt vinegar powder, it is so fine. It is almost not like a powder. It is almost like a cosmic mist that hovers over your popcorn.
It's a vapor.
And decides on its own when to settle.
Yeah.
And you will breathe it in and it will go straight to your olfactory senses and trigger all the things that go wrong with it.
All of Dave's mucous membranes are full of popcorn powder, and that is what is actually going to kill him.
Now you understand. Dave T. Cole, podcaster extraordinaire, dead at 50 from fine malt vinegar powder inhalation. That is why you have to bring it up every once in a while. A+ headline.
Our spine line this month is total mayhem, which I suppose is, we have really begun on theme.
Yeah.
Total mayhem.
Because it's May.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Our first feature is called pumping. No, not pumping your breath. This is about weightlifting.
What is pumping your breasts?
What?
What do you mean pumping your breasts?
Like when you're nursing?
Oh, pumping.
I have to go pump?
I'm sorry.
Aren't you a mother?
Wait, hold on.
I don't think of those
Pam,
as breasts.
What did you think we meant?
Listen, there's a time when they make food and they are not
pump
your breasts.
Pump up your breasts. Pump them up. Jamming.
That sounds to me like Judy Blume. We must increase our bust. That's pumping your breasts.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're milking the baby feeders. They're just not your breasts for a little while.
Well, the shoe, the pump, is this year or last year, 88 or 89. The mm-hmm. Reebok pump.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been that too.
Well, it's not. It's about weightlifting. And Catherine is going to be profiling a young woman who she was referred to at a place in New York, a very serious gym called Better Bodies. And this person's name is Vicky Meads. She won the Teen Nationals of Weightlifting in Houston the previous year before this article. She's 20 now. And this is, I can't really get a bead on how, like, Catherine seems very judgmental about it, as you would expect. Like, she writes in the first column, a bunch of us from Sassy rent the 1986 documentary Pumping Iron 2, The Women. As gross as it is to see these swelled up women with low voices and tiny bikinis slather oil all over each other, it's also strangely fascinating. Like, that's the male gaze, Catherine. Like, they're not doing this to look sexy to men or whoever. Like, this is a different kind of pursuit. Would I want to do it? Certainly not. I don't even lift as much weights as I should.
It's a lot of effort. That's why you wouldn't want to do it.
That's correct.
If Tara covered herself in that malt glaze thing, though, would you find her more interesting?
Well, wait. First, I have to spray her with I cannot believe it is not butter, which is right. The proper form that I use.
Yes.
And then I would sprinkle the popcorn. And then I would make her flex. Like, oh, baby. Pop it like, tonight.
Yeah.
Come here, honey. Oh, that's good stuff.
I don't know. Cam, what did you think of this story?
What did I think of this story? It's a good question because it did start with just like, ew, why is this gross? And then I was like, oh, I guess it's just a thing that you do. Mm-hmm. I learned through it, though, things I didn't know, like what short and long muscle bellies meant. Mm-hmm. I actually learned about weightlifting. So I feel like I can't say that it wasn't effective.
Right.
I got a real sense of Vicky and her life and why, you know, what's hard for her and what's interesting about why she dresses the way she dresses. Mm-hmm. Every question was sort of like, why is it like this?
And exactly.
There would be a really good answer. And then she'd be like, that's a really good answer. So in that way, I feel like it was successful because she came in pretty judgy and left like, I don't know if I could never do that. I don't think I could do that. It went from, I would never want to do that to, oh my gosh, I couldn't possibly do that.
Right, right.
I like that.
Yeah. The other thing about it, other than like, ew, women look so unfeminine when they do this, is like, and a lot of stuff about like what is or isn't normal weight, which like don't. But she's also like, that people have this need to be different, which is like, yeah, that's true of anyone who does anything competitively. Like they're trying to stand out in whatever the field is that they've chosen to try to be the best in. But I do think what is missing from the story is like, especially for all the times that Catherine asserts like what is and is not healthy, mm-hmm. it needed to have someone other than Vicky and her boyfriend like talking about her regime and like what she does and whether it is or isn't healthy, because I don't know, and neither does Catherine. And Vicky's still at it. She spells her name V-I-C-K-Y instead of V-I-K-K-I, which is how it is in this article, but we'll link to her Instagram. She has a bunch of beautiful daughters now. But this reminded me that my trainer in New York, when I still had a trainer, she used to do this occasionally. And at first I was like, occasionally. And then in the article, they were like, you can only do this 2 or 3 times a year max because your body has to recover. And I was like, oh, right. That makes sense. But it really was wild to see how much her physique could change in such a short period of time. And like how much her face changed when she would like be dropping water weight. It's just amazing what a body can do if you really are determined to change it.
Yeah. And speaking of Vicky's Instagram, she does go through like before and after and on her journey pictures when she's getting ready for competition.
Yeah.
I could not do it.
No, me neither. My trainer, Alicia, would also, she told me about how she had posed for like before and after diet ads, like shady ads. Mm-hmm. She's like, they do them the same day, like obviously, just basically how you pose to make it look like you've undergone this amazing transformation, which was also interesting.
Guys Just Want One Thing is feature number 2 and Other Myths by Mike. He wrote this. He finds himself constantly listening to girl talk, and a lot of the talk is about how guys are, quote, a confederation of unfeeling, flesh-groping, heartstring-yanking, virginity-stealing, self-admiring, rumor-starting, lie-telling, cleavage-chasing slobs. Mike says, because I'm a guy, and a severely outnumbered one at that, I find myself the target of the slander more than occasionally. So we decided to ask some guys some opinions to let us know that a lot of these things that we say about dudes are myths. This is a representative sampling of the responses he received. All right. Myth number 1. Guys just want one thing. Mike says, if this myth were true, we'd all ask for plastic blow-up dolls for our 16th birthdays. Ew. Just want to stop there. I really just want to stop there. But girls really do seem to think that guys don't value some kind of deeper involvement. So he asked his panel O dudes how they'd view being in a relationship which was enjoyable otherwise but did not include sex. And people are like, I mean, yeah, that's kind of what it's like trying to date girls in high school.
Yeah.
Like, yep, welcome to my world, they all say. Dave, I feel like Dave, do guys just want one thing?
No, because there's also the, you know, the malt vinegar popcorn. So it's at least two.
Two things.
Yeah.
Great.
This doesn't mention video games at all.
No, it's not. Yeah, that doesn't mention.
Exactly. There is a type of person that projects that sort of vibe at school, and yeah. They're always the grossest people, right? That are just like they think that if they always think and talk about having sex, that it's like this, it's like the gross boy secret. If you just think it and say it and be that person who talks about being horny or just comments on everything, that somehow sex will come to you.
Mm.
And I definitely know people like that in high school. And there were also the people that left high school as soon as it was possible, and we never heard from them again. Mm-hmm. So I think you can encounter this, mm-hmm. but it's definitely not universal. And it definitely speaks more about them as individuals than all boy kind.
But movies at this time very much made it seem like...
Oh, Weird Science and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. If Weird Science is exactly what I was thinking about. Absolutely. Like, so horny that you make Kelly LeBrock. And that was all you really needed. And then you learn, like, oh, maybe I need more from a girl. But, you know, no. I mean, all of it made it seem like boys wait until they're alone so that because they're so horny that once they're alone, they can be like, let's just talk about how horny we are. And they're like, oh, God, finally, no girls around. I'm losing my mind. Is it ever like that, Dave?
No, I don't think. I mean, I can only speak to my experience as a sheltered, you know, Canadian. Yeah. But no, I don't get the same sort of like gossipy inner circle-y kind of thing that the movies would do for girls in the same boat, right? Like, oh, he's in this. So it's like you talk about video games or you talk about movies or whatever. Like, it's a different thing. I don't think you share the same way amongst boys as you do with girls.
Yeah. Sometimes boys do just want one thing to like mark you off a list, mm-hmm. right? Like, I do think that there are boys out there who just are looking for a numbers game.
Yeah. The other problem with this article, too, is that the kinds of boys that you're going to attract to your, brain trust is going to be it's going to be self-selecting, and they're not going to be these kinds of guys because they are, you know, they are sassy readers or they were referred by sassy readers. So they're going to be a little bit more enlightened. You're not getting the full range of like the pigs are not represented here.
They're on their best behavior, too, with any answer.
For sure.
Because Mike is trying to prove his point. Yeah. Our second myth is that guys think losing their virginity is no big deal. Mike says, au contraire. How am I supposed to say that, Tara? I'm sure I said that
pretty
so
close.
Wrong.
That's close enough.
Merci beaucoup. They think it's a very big deal, and that's why they want to do it as soon as possible. Well, hold on. I'm kidding. That's a joke. But seriously, he asked his panel if they were concerned about how they'd lose their virginity. And with the exception of one trigger-happy Casanova from California, their answers echoed 18-year-old Harry's from Minnesota, who professed, that's not something I take lightly. It's got to be a special thing. It's got to be talked about. Sex shouldn't be involved unless there are real feelings, real passion, not just some manly macho drive. If you don't know the person, it doesn't make it real. I mean, I appreciate this article, I have to say, for the, like, this is romance literature to me.
Yeah.
To teen me.
We don't have to go through all of the myths, but I think, you know, the point of it is well taken, which is like, not everyone is like the people that you see in the worst comedies that are directed at men. Mm. Part of this is going to be true because we do live in patriarchy and that's just how it is. But, you know, not everyone is going to conform to these tropes.
Guys will go as far as they can get. Is that, I find like that is not a myth. And all of these, like, guys only like Heather Locklear lookalikes. Guys only say they love you to get what they want. Guys are more likely to cheat. But guys will go as far as they can get.
That's true in every walk of life. Like, girls will go as far as they can get, too. And your boss will go as far as they can get to try and get you to do stuff.
Tigers will go
exactly.
as far as they can get.
Everyone will go as far as they can get. I think that one is true. I agree.
I think.
Tigers.
I mean.
Tigers only want one thing. That's disgusting.
It's very true. Yeah, these myths do not apply to tigers. If a tiger tells you he loves you, he is trying to get something.
Tigers only go for Heather Locklear lookalikes.
That's what it's in the movie.
She kind of looks like a tiger sometimes, you know, or lion anyways, with the hair. Yeah.
Tigers will always tell their friends what they've done with you, meaning you. But congratulations to Mike on his first feature. We've only ever seen him write reviews before this, so this is his big debut. And it's not bad.
Our next feature is the official sassy guide to the grooviest pants. Page 54 in your hymnals. Elizabeth wrote this. I mean, it's genuinely like a brochure about camps.
Yeah, it's real boring.
So boring. And like they phoned the layout in and everything. It's just like, totally. It's so like, oh, nobody wants to do this.
It's mm-hmm. so informational. So you can't complain about that. Like, it's just phone numbers and addresses and people's names. And then if it genuinely, like, and if that doesn't work, try this number, call your dad. You know what? Even it has so many or whatevers. Like, it's uh-huh. like, go to your church or temple or whatever. I don't know. Just like, what are you into? There's a camp. And then the sassy at the end.
This is very advertorial. It's like, I see ads when I watch Frasier on the Hallmark Channel where it's like, a place for mom. And it's about, you know, finding a nursing home for your parents. And they stress and everything, like, you don't get charged. Because obviously, the nursing homes that they're trying to steer you towards are the ones that get charged. And this is the same thing. It's like, a place for kid. And it's clearly advertorial. All of these camps were like, give us prime placement in this May issue. Even though by the time it's May, it's too late. You can't get into camp. This is for next year.
Right.
But I did think it was funny that it's the grooviest and not most Groovox camps, because they have been trying to push Groovox ever since that was the sassy word. Now they're finally, it seems like, being like, oh, forget it. Never mind. But
probably they'd have to explain it to the advertisers on this page. And it's just like, right. Just put
Groovox.
Let's do
a Tampax. Yeah. I don't right. want it.
This list is also invalid because their section on artsy camps doesn't mention the most artsy camp of all, other than Interlochen, which one of our callers brought up on the Slumber Party episode, which is Stage Door Manor, where people like Zach Braff, and I'm going to pull up the whole list because it's a shocking number of people went through this fucking camp. Jennifer Jason Lee, Michael Ian Black, Skylar Astin, Sebastian Stan, Robert Downey Jr., like, this is the ne plus ultra of artsy camps, and so the fact that it doesn't get mentioned, I guess they didn't need to pay to get into sassy because they were famous enough.
I didn't know there were computer camps growing up until after
really?
I was definitely beyond the age where I would have. I mean, I would never go to camp. Camp sounds terrifying on every level, but if one camp would have kind of, like, tipped the scales, it would have been a camp where I can just hang out with computers all summer.
I went to computer camp
as
a kid.
Wow.
It was
wait,
a date.
What? How old?
Like under 10, probably.
So like Commodore PET era?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like...
Green monochrome monitors?
Yes, it was okay. Learn basic.
Yeah.
Line 10, blah, blah, blah. Line 20, go to 10.
10 print, quote, tar is great, quote, 20, go to 10, run.
Yeah, that's all I learned at that camp. But it was like 2 weeks... Like mornings in the summertime.
How do you not know she went to computer camp? This feels
I don't
like
know.
Something Tara
well,
should have told you.
Why am
now.
I just finding out about this now?
Terrible.
And how come you didn't keep up with it? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to tell you not to keep every fucking file on your desktop so that your desktop looks
fine.
Like a marsh of digital madness?
I only keep stuff on my desktop that I need to have at hand.
I swear to God, Helen.
We can't have this argument again.
Your desktop should be as bereft of things as possible. The desktop is not where you organize your files.
Oh boy.
If you need a temporary place to put your files, at least just have a temp file, a downloads file, something like that. For the love of God, just don't put files willy-nilly on your desktop. It's not part of the proper folder hierarchy. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills every time I have to explain this. If you don't disagree with me... Thank you.
You're really the Greg Abbott of telling women what to do with their computer.
I'm telling everybody what to do.
The computer camp description the brochure does seem like a lie. It says one brochure, there was a picture of a tan girl in a bathing suit typing at a portable keyboard on a diving board, complete with gorgeous counselor.
I want to see that. Why isn't that here?
I want to watch that movie because it's not a real computer camp.
Right.
Nor a real computer, because if that fell in the water.
Well, that's what they say. Yeah,
that's what they say. They do say that. That does seem ridiculous, but...
Oh, more for the people that it would kill in the water is what I was thinking. Not so much the computer.
Yeah, but if it's battery, it wouldn't hurt anyone in the water, would it?
Tar, there wouldn't have been battery computers back then. Get your desktop in order and your shit straight. Sorry. Dave.
Whose side are you on?
I'm just making fun of Dave.
Didn't sound like me at all.
I know.
Look, I just think.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
don't
look.
Don't go back
look,
to
look,
it.
Look, you just be quiet for a minute. Look, Tara is very neat and tidy in all the ways that I am not. That is to say, Tara is very tidy and wants everything neat and clean in the real world. Yeah. Whereas my office is usually kind of disorganized and has this shit here and there. And I'm not saying it's my system and I enjoy it. I just like never really quite tidy it to the point where it is like truly presentable to the person that comes with the white glove. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I got to take a screenshot of this fucking thing. Pam just...
Okay, mine doesn't look like that.
Pam. All right, Pam is holding up her laptop, and there is not one spot on her desktop that doesn't have a file on it.
There's files on top of files on top of files. I don't even know what these are.
Anyways, I am... Where Tara is messy is on her computer, in my opinion, and I am very, very organized. I want to know what all my stuff is right away. Not only where they are in the folder, but the naming convention, what things, you know, get...
Look at mine by comparison. Mine is
She just showed me the desktop again. And
they're in rows. They're very tidy.
I just want to end this podcast right now. I'm so upset about Pam's desktop.
Mine looks like one of those photos when people are like, that's actually made of individual desktop files.
It does. Pull back as Abraham Lincoln. All right, I see what they did there.
Okay, but look at mine. It's organized.
I can find everything. It's all
that can't
in
be
the computer.
I mean, I will say Pam's desktop is more of a wake-up call than your lecturing.
I think this will be the one that gets Jason to call 720 Sassy Go.
Wow, Dave is actually mad.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, guys. I mean, the fact that you guys are so, like, organized in real life and somehow can't appreciate extending that to your digital hygiene is maddening. I mean, at least I try in real life to be neat, even though I do fail. I understand its purpose and its utility. But this is just madness and chaos. And you guys should go to a special camp just for desktop organization.
Well, I will not show you other... desktops or my phone.
Oh, your phone. I remember your phone back in the day when the iPhones kind of were new and we were visiting or you're visiting us. And I picked up your phone and it had updates to apps. Like it was like 87. I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Oh,
update your apps.
Let I don't do that.
What are you doing? It fucks everything up.
No,
always wait for the third or fourth release. Dave left. Dave left the chat.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, there are camps.
There are camps. Go to camp. Next
Go
year.
To camp. Moving on. This month's fiction article sucks.
Oh, it's so bad.
Maybe they thought the magazine was going to fold. And this was like, they went and they took all the money and they went somewhere, I guess New Orleans, Florida, and hung out. And they were like, we got shit-faced and this is all we have. Karen Catchpole was like, you know what, you guys, I got a story from when I was 10 that I wrote, and I think we can just print it. It's called a short story. It's does Jake dye her hair red?
that's truly the whole thing.
I didn't read it. I was kind of wondering what it was about. There it is. Literally exponent 2 on the tin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dyes her hair red and people have reactions.
Yeah.
And then it's
That's
over.
It.
Wow.
And one of the people is a boy, and he thinks it's great. And so that's the story of red hair. Oof.
It's bad.
We've talked about it more than it deserves, in fact.
Well, yes. Because, okay, yes, this is true. Let's move on. We've got shoplifters to make fun of.
Oh my God, yes, we do.
Speaking of bad writing.
Dead body.
I'm so sorry. I thought I had you in another room.
I'm full of vegetables. But we'll get to that later.
I can tell. That's a lot of bloat. Wow. Dave's body. Do you mind sitting over here for a minute? What is that malty scent all over your... Yikes. Okay.
I just want to backtrack and say I really resent that you putting the notion in all our listeners' heads that Dave is doing some kind of Goldfinger thing with me, except with malt vinegar, and I can't believe it's not butter.
Malt fingers.
Oh my gosh.
It's Canadian. You wouldn't understand.
No. Oh, no. Anyway, body shot.
Ultimate frisbee. Ultimate frisbee.
If you got to make up a sport called Ultimate Frisbee, how would the rules go, Dave?
First of all, there would be at least 10 explosions per quarter.
Yeah, it would be Blurn's Ball.
It would be frisbees. Blurn's Ball from Futurama. Yeah, some guy just suddenly rides a giant spider into the pitcher's mound. Just crazy shit has to happen. You can't call anything ultimate if you're not going balls to the walls, is I believe the point you're going to make, Pam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was only thinking of frisbee golf, but this is the first time I ever saw the rules for ultimate frisbee, which is
don't tackle anybody. They make it hurt. Ultimate frisbee.
Character is getting a lot of play in this.
Don't
episode.
Move when you catch it. Don't run. Ultimate frisbee. Remember, get your parents to sign permission forms. Ultimate frisbee.
Yeah, I don't know how ultimate it is if it's the end of it is. You can start a game just by bringing a frisbee and your friends to a park. That's not ultimate. That's standard frisbee.
Throw the frisbee around with your friends. Ultimate frisbee.
Tara, what would your ultimate frisbee rules
I'm not
include?
Making up physical games. What are you, crazy?
Wow.
Flip it over. Use it as a plate. That's the ultimate frisbee.
That's yours again.
Holy shit.
Did I tell that story in this podcast? The real ultimate frisbee? Speaking about not being clean, I once went so long during my bachelorhood cooking stupid little tiny samosas in the oven and then putting them on a plate to eat and then not doing the dishes because they had to soak for 2 weeks. That I eventually ran out of plates. And the last straw, before I put all the plates in the tub and let them soak en masse, was I ate off a frisbee.
You see why I don't care what you think about my desktop?
But I wouldn't do that now. I've bettered myself.
You
I know
do that,
that people are meant to eat off frisbee.
Someone here to tell you
no
not
matter
to.
How ultimate they are. I just remember this. I had every piece of kitchenware I owned in one bathtub. And I thought, surely the impetus to make me clean it is if I soak them en masse. That way I know they've all had the same soaking and each will be the same amount of cleaning.
Yeah. The other day I saw Dave stir up his half and half into his coffee with the end of a spoon and then lick it and put the spoon back in the drawer while I was standing there.
Not,
oh, no!
Not true. This is what I did. Okay, so I flipped the spoon and used it as a stirrer. I licked it, then I wiped it on my shirt and put it back.
Okay, you're right. I forgot that crucial step.
Ultimate frisbee.
I wonder if that guy that I had a crush on who works at Fast Power now
Tim Horton?
Is single. Tim C. I have more colored toilet
Tim
paper.
Tim C. the... Toilet paper magnet, whatever he was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyways, that's the story about how I played Ultimate Frisbee.
Pam, what would your rules be?
Well, it's a very long game. Mm-hmm. there are like 10 quarters.
10 quarters.
There's 10 quarters.
I mean,
I think it adds up just fine, Dave. It's Ultimate Frisbee.
We're going to have to ask Mrs. Greenspoon about that one.
It does stand to reason that it's long because it's the last one there ever will be. That's what ultimate means.
Yes. It's a worldwide ultimate frisbee. Oh. But it's, and you have to wear a lot of protective gear because the frisbees are thrown at, it's kind of like hockey, but you're flicking a frisbee at someone. And so you like chunk into each other and then you like battle for the frisbee and you chunk it over to someone else. You might get hit in the eye.
You're describing discs of Tron.
Mm. All right, well, I'm into it. Ultimate frisbee.
Ultimate frisbee. Discs of Tron. It's from the movie. Don't you remember the movie? They have the frisbees they stick on their back and they take them off and they're sort of basically like scoopless Hi-Li to the death.
No, Dave, I've never seen a Tron.
Starlog Jam. We'll have to watch Tron for our first Starlog Jam
episode. Cut to Pam getting fired from Disney because she's never seen a Tron. Right.
I'm freelance, bitches. Okay. I think we've really thrown the ultimate frisbee topic for a loop. Let's move on.
Vegetarians live longer, says some new study. Damn it.
Just really, when you thought it was safe.
You know, when I was 20 and I started, you know, eating vegetables only, I thought, oh, this is great, I'll live longer. But now that I'm here on the precipice of 50, I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want to extend those years. I think I'm good. I think I'm going to go smoke, drink, yeah, and, you know, really go crazy with the malt vinegar powder.
Yeah, my dad used to smoke when I was a kid, and he said, like, if he got to be 75 and he was still alive, he was going to start smoking again. And I feel like that's Dave with meat, with specifically with the two meats that he misses the most, or did the last time we talked about this, bacon. No, you don't miss bacon anymore?
You cannot find a bacon equivalent in the vegetarian world. It's just like, there is no, so far, I mean, I'm sure we got our top the scientists working on it, but we haven't cracked that nut yet. Like 10 years ago, I would have said the same thing about ground beef, but apparently people love the Impossible burgers. I don't eat it because that's not why I eat vegetarian. I don't eat it and I don't want like a one-to-one replacement for meat.
Right.
You know, I'd much rather have like a garden burger that's just basically, you know, full of vegetables
thing.
And it tastes,
yeah,
has its own thing going on, mm-hmm, you know, flavor profile wise. Bacon. And the other one is chicken wings. Yeah. And we actually do have really good fake chicken wings without, you know, like boneless chicken wings kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Veggie Grill,
yep,
in Los Angeles. I fucking think about their buffalo wing substitute stuff once a month at least. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sad. I hope they made it through the pandemic because their buffalo chicken salad was amazing. When I first started, the smell of bacon would get to me and the idea of having a chicken wing would get to me because that was like one of my favorite guilty pleasure foods. But that doesn't really hold water anymore.
How sick do you think you would get if you ate a cheeseburger right now? Like
probably
a good
little bit
cheeseburger,
sick.
Not like a McDonald's cheeseburger.
No,
which
I
probably
understand.
Isn't even meat either.
Well, it's been
1 week since you ate some meat.
20.
Close your eyes.
It's been 28 years since you ate some meat.
Almost 27 years.
Yeah. But I would probably get pretty roily, I bet. There would be roiling.
Yeah. You would shit yourself inside out.
Oh, boy, would I ever.
Next up, liquid sunglasses. Guys, strap in because this is horrifying. Just in case you're ready to give up your favorite fashion statement, sunglasses. Get ready for these newfangled liquid sunglasses. They're a gel that stays in the eyes several hours without any irritation.
Oh, I didn't read this through, and that's not what I thought this was, and that is terrifying.
And screens out 98% of the sun's ultraviolet rays. Coming soon to your local drugstores. No, thank you. Who came up with this cursed idea?
Chandler and Monica. That's what you call it when you put them in. My eyes. It's so gross. An article was published in some medical journals about how this does not work. But liquid-sunglasses.com still exists. They're still coming soon.
Coming soon. I want to go to this website and see if they have a little like construction worker with under construction, but no.
Sunglasses. The cool dude emoji with the sunglasses.
the little GIF envelope right to us.
Oh, no. 808 area code on this phone number. They're never getting made.
Ophthalmic liquid sunglasses are eye drops that contain UVA. It burns. UVB. It really burns. Oh. And nobody likes sunscreen in their eyes.
No.
UVA, UVB, and HEV blockers developed from proteins derived from the aloe vera plant. And then it says, these active ingredients have been used on a global basis in all of the over-the-counter suntan lotion for more than 20 years. Their effectiveness has been well established.
Don't worry
That's
about
not
it.
Science.
Not for your eyes.
Not science.
What if they were actually transition liquids? And then when you went outside, you just like you turned into the demon with the black eyes. That would be kind of cool.
I just want to tell this copywriter, some scientists have also determined that eyes and skin are not the same.
Now, there's another place that sells them as if they're a way to help your eye-colored lenses. So if you're going to go full snake eye, why not also just drop this shit in there and keep them gooey so that you don't get eye cancer? And that's all. I mean, you can get melanoma in the eye. So this is good if it worked. But there's another one. I found another link for ophthalmic anti-UV eye drops solution. And this one sounds sciencey enough that I was like, oh, I probably need this.
Oh, I probably should buy it.
Drop defense.
Oh, from the makers of Bonafide. Yeah. Okay.
Bona-eyed.
Bona-eyed. This is by Servamed. Okay. Oh, they do surgical radio frequency and ophthalmology. They have a drop tonic 5% solution and a drop therapeutic. And this is the patented PPE anti-blue light and anti-UV eye drops. It's a unique and patented ophthalmic solution based on vitamin B12, which is riboflavin, vitamin E, TPGs, MSM, amino acids, and sodium hydrolate. Well, that sounds burny. With anti-UV and anti-blue light protective and shielding effect. It's, it protects all kinds of things, it says. And you can wear them with wearable contact lenses. I don't know what unwearable contact lenses are. Who buys those? What do you do with an unwearable contact lens?
One for wearing, one for keeping.
For your hope chest.
Then we have an item speaking directly to me. Migraine and tension headaches. This one says, hey, if you get headaches, have you ever heard of putting ice on your head? Yes, we have. People who get migraines and headaches have already heard of this miracle cure, but thanks.
And?
The next item on the page is about grinding your teeth while you sleep. And if you get headaches, this may be why. And apparently, teeth grinding is the epidemic illness or ailment or condition of our time. There was an article about it a few years ago in The Cut about how everyone in New York has gotten a mouth guard from their dentist because everyone grinds their teeth when they sleep.
And if it's giving you ringing in your ears, please see your dentist and say, it's from the mouth guard. Don't buy things that chime or the 19 other things I did. Just take the mouth guard out. You might be grinding it. Mm-hmm. People who genuinely sleep on their backs, I would like to know what it's like. And don't you feel both bored and vulnerable that way?
Right. I truly believe nobody sleeps on their back. It's and weird. It's just for movies and TV shows. So you can see the people's faces. And humans, unless you're like dead tired or you're a cowboy falling asleep next to the fire in the middle of the Arizona desert. Mm-hmm. You do not sleep on your back. It's just not the way things operate. I feel like this is like another one of those pop culture convenient conspiracy things that have happened.
Yes. Yeah. And the reason this came up is because that's what they say. If you grind your teeth while you sleep, try sleeping on your back. I'm like, you can try it. It's just not going to work. Because I agree. You can't sleep that way. It's unnatural.
Lying on your back is how you activate your brain a wondering mechanism. And you don't want to activate that at night because then you're alone with your own thoughts and God knows where that's going to take you.
It's very true.
See, that part of my brain never turns off. That's why I have to fall asleep with the TV on so that it drowns out my brain.
I can't even sleep on my side. I have to sleep on my stomach. Like, even on my side, unless I'm dead tired or I just happen to like kind of lazily roll over in the middle of the night unknowingly, but I can't be on my side trying to fall asleep initially. It never takes. I have to be sleeping on lying on my stomach, which I'm sure is terrible for me. But then again, you know, who wants to live forever? Not me.
Help.
I'm bleeding from sex.
Help. Not just any sex. Help. You know, I've got a hymen.
Help.
This one does begin. Bleeding from sex. Is it true that the first time you have sex, you bleed? Signed, very interested. Very interested. With a lowercase I. And they write, no, the only time a girl bleeds when she loses her virginity is when her hymen, a thin little flap of tissue that covers the vaginal opening, hasn't already been broken. That's not true, she says hesitantly.
Which part?
You can bleed for other reasons.
Okay.
But you're having sex with a donkey.
We'll just move on. Before I become the bragging friend.
One time I bled so much when I was having sex, so, you guys.
Oh my God, you guys.
No, I think she's saying one time she slept with a guy whose dick was so big it dug out some of her organs.
Wow.
No. No? That's not what you meant?
Old shovel dick.
When people ask, will your child hear this podcast one day? I normally say, I mean, probably, but now I know. No.
That could get cut. Dave can cut that.
He won't if he knows what's good for him.
What did you mean? Seriously. No, I'll
moving on. Okay. I'm done with this topic.
All right.
I am sorry. I brought it up.
We're all sorry.
Yeah, Dara
brought it up. Bragging friend. One of my closest friends has a real problem. She is constantly bragging to everybody about the most unnecessary things. Apparently, she feels it essential to tell us the brand of her clothes, how much allowance she's getting, and the cost of her family's housekeeper. How should I talk to her about it? If I may suggest, a message from 2022, back in time. Eat the rich! sounds like you're about to get ankled by this friend for her betters in high society, and you might as well just take advantage of it while you can. Just and then go over her house to her Silver Spoons house, ride the train, play golf, just have at it, because you're never going to experience this high again.
I thought you were going to say rob her.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea too. Rob her.
Yeah,
take some of that silverware and some of those silver spoons, as it were.
Uncontrollably Infatuated asks, well, I mean, the whole letter doesn't seem like anybody really wrote it. Like it fell out of an old magazine because it begins, I don't know what to do, italics theirs. My dilemma is that I seem to have fallen for my big bro's best pal. The trouble is, according to all the signs, he flirts a whole lot. He likes me too, but I'm his best friend's little sister, making me off limits. I've tried to ignore my feelings for him, but they won't go away. Help! And then they're like, yeah, it happens. See, like, you know, you look up to your brothers, so you probably look up to this dude, and, you know, you don't have to stop liking him, and maybe he wants to date you, and you ask your brother. At no point are they like, is he a senior and you're a freshman? Like, there's no question of where this might be not a good idea.
Right.
But Uncontrollably Infatuated, being a fake girl from the fake past, they gave her appropriate fake advice. I hope you get married. What a catch. He sounds sporty.
Watch out for that big shovel dick.
Oh, yeah. He'll fuck your guts out. Enjoy. Get some extra pads for your waddle home. I'm Tara Ariano, and I love giving disgusting advice.
That was not advice. It was a question.
Do your guts bleed after sex? Is your hymen a thing of the past? Toxic shock syndrome's a complete myth. Put that thing in there for as long as you want.
The only thing messier than all this blood is my desktop.
Hey!
Oh, it is getting personal.
It happened to me is once again fake, and here's why. It is the story of Laura describing the time that she and her best friend, when Laura was 13, got caught shoplifting. And it goes into so much detail that I have to think this was ghostwritten by the Retailers of America Association or something to like scare teens straight into what will happen, because I swear to God, we hear 15 times how they got a bag from one department store and like took off their coats and put their coats in the bag and then they took them out again. But the free bag that you can get, which I remember when that was a thing, where you could ask for a bag so you could put your coat in it. That did happen. Pam doesn't know because she lived in the South where they don't have coats. But anyway, Laura and her alleged friend used it to like drop stuff in and then walk out with it in the bags. And they got away with it in one store, and then they decided to press their luck and tried it in another store, and then they got caught. And the lady that is in like store jail or whatever, this fat lady who has trying to scare them. And apparently if it was over $20, they would go to juvie straight out of this place, which like,
I don't know why, but her name is Linda Skoronsky. Continue.
Yeah.
They don't take this shit at Montgomery Ward, is what this article is saying. That's who I think might have paid for it happened to me. Because it's very clear that it's Montgomery Ward that's like, no.
That's
you can't
right.
get away with that.
That's right, because they get away with it at Nordstrom. Nordstrom doesn't give a fuck. Take the nail polish. Who cares? Montgomery Ward is cracking down. So anyway, because the value of everything they took was under $20, they just got in heck with their parents.
It's hard to not call this person a fat lady. That's just all it says. Just this fat lady. They
yes. In the store jail. This fat lady sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
She says,
"Is this your first time?" she demanded coldly. We both nodded. "Well, you're darn lucky because I'm sorry, I can't even, it's such a bad. "Well, you're darn lucky because I would have, damn it. "Well, you're darn lucky because I would have you two thrown in juvie." We kept quiet. "I'm sick of these kids thinking they're so smart they won't get caught."
Seriously. Go back to Cool Hand Luke, fat lady. This is really excessive.
On and on, the lady lectured and yelled. I was so scared. Then the guy asked each of us all these questions. How old were we? Where were we born? How much did we weigh? What were our phone numbers, addresses, social security numbers, and even more? Meanwhile, the lady had gone out to see how much the items stole cost. That's also a terrible line. If it was over $20, we would go to juvie right then. Luckily, it wasn't. "I wish you would have stolen more. Do you know how much it costs a store each time someone steals something?" she yelled. Then the guy went out to call our parents. It seemed like forever until he came back. I hated that lady.
I hated that lady. I can't stop clapping. You guys, here's how it finishes.
When my father refunded, there was no way for me to avoid being grounded. Her parents had to come up from vacation to get her. But when her father finally arrived, he didn't exactly look pleased. I was grounded for 2 weeks. Michelle and I couldn't see each other for a month. We also had to pay a fine of $50 apiece. I never thought I'd say this, but it's a good thing that lady was hard on us because we learned our lesson. I don't think either of us will ever steal anything again. Thank you, fat lady.
Thank you, fat lady.
Thank you, fat lady.
Sticker. Just kidding.
$300 Montgomery Ward got for writing this.
Yeah. And just to sidebar about, like, do you know how much it costs a store each time someone steals something? Wage theft is more than what stores lose from shoplifting across the country. And that's, and only, by the way, only one form of wage theft, which is underpaying staffers. There are other forms. So, again, the retailers of America can suck my dick. Like, you know, don't steal or whatever, but stores commit more crimes than shoplifters. And as we have said before, if you steal someone, stop shoplifting. No, you didn't.
Boulder, Colorado, they say. It sounds like a city on the Flintstones. So stupid. I can't believe they got away with that. It sounds like a city on the Flintstones. Like, this whole issue is... anyway. In fact, Boulder, Colorado is absolutely positively one of the coolest college towns in this country. So in Boulder, you can go to college, you can hang out in a mall or a restaurant, you can see a house where Mork and Mindy set their credits, you can climb a mountain, you can sit next to each other and say cool terms like sweet, hey, and psych.
Yeah. Hey makes it into the what they say section. Hey, a more laid back version of that old standby. Hi. Oh, thank God you defined it. I would have been completely lost.
It really, though, I mean, as much as we make fun of that, it really sort of paints a good picture of how dynamic Boulder appears to be. That hey had to make it into the cut along with sweet. And I'm going to say the incorrect use of psych.
Absolutely if I've ever incorrect. Understood
it. Yeah, I've never heard this. It says, psych, used frequently to express extreme satisfaction, as in, you're going skiing this weekend? Psych!
Like, there's psych, and there's I'm psyched. Yeah. They're two different things, though.
Yes.
Ah, I'm psyched.
Like, psych is, you know, I've psychologically bested you.
Yes.
Ha! Psych. Mm-hmm. And then there is, I am psyched to go skiing this weekend.
Yes.
Very different uses, and I think it's the past tense thing that really makes a difference there.
Yeah,
I think they got confused with that one.
Did anybody look up Wind Machine, the local acoustical jazz band? I couldn't go near that. There were too many words that make me unhappy. I was repelled.
If you have jazz, it's bad enough, but if you have the word machine to it, no, you do not want automation anywhere near your jazz. Like, it's just going to make it exponentially worse.
Hey, everybody, we're Wind Machine. We're a local acoustical. Well, everybody's gone. I didn't even mention jazz. And a jazz. The whitest people on earth are in a picture here just saying hey to each other.
Yeah, that was the caption.
Stupidest picture.
Hey.
Stupidest picture. It looks like you're supposed to write a caption and hey is temp dialogue.
They're obviously just brother and sister. Like, there's nothing about this that's right. It's just
nothing,
you know,
going on.
No.
I found wind machine, guys.
Oh my gosh. Stop everything. Are they still around?
Yes. As of 2018, they were. Wind Machine never met a style it didn't like. Goodbye. Playing guitar-based, mostly instrumental music, which could only accurately be described as mass fusion. I'm already gone. I can't say goodbye again. Its members dabbled in sounds that ranged from blues to bluegrass to jazz to new age. They utilized, past tense, a vast arsenal of instruments. Ranging from the guitar to the mandolin to the dobro. From the trombone to the electro fretless bass to their own invention. No! The gitjo, a 6, 7, or 8-string guitar with the bass strings restrung with higher pitched treble strings. These maniacs married a guitar and a banjo.
Wait, you want to hear why? Because I read ahead. Joe is in is fine. He was in a car accident. He's fine. He says, I was lucky I wasn't killed. I was smashed by a delivery truck going 60 miles an hour, climbed out the window of my car and got hit by another car. My hands were messed up. And for quite a while, I couldn't hold a pick. My finger would swell up like a pickle. But interestingly, I could finger pick. That didn't bother my hands. So for 4 months of rehab, all I did was sit around and write acoustic stuff. And that's where the Rain Maiden album came from. Rain Maiden put Wind Machine's signature acoustic style in the national spot. Spotlight, with Boulder's Silver Wave Records offering the band distribution and promotion. Oh boy. They say things like they are adult musicians temporarily trapped in the bodies of 13 and 50-year-old boys. Oh, his sons play now.
Oh gosh.
Wind Machine released 13 critically acclaimed albums, so fuck me. The group ended its run in the spring of 98. Oh. At that point, Joe focused on running Wildwood Guitars, his shop in downtown Louisville, renowned for its custom pieces. Mm. So it says because of the high altitude, it takes half an hour more to bake a potato here. I've never tried to cook in high altitude.
We still talking about the effects of jazz? What's going on here?
Next time! We'll be talking about the pop culture topics of the May 1989 issue. Sassy's pro-Debbie Gibson agenda continues with a full profile. Go behind the scenes of a Breathe video. Who and is one to watch? Back on its bullshit. All that and more.
How about 10 seconds of Wind Machine's Rain Maiden?
They're pretty good.
It's the same thing over and over
again. I like it.
I've been listening to this in the background for a minute. And it's just this
is
one
this
thing.
Wind Machine?
Yes.
Like
this is Wind Machine's Rain Maiden.
You know, music that you hear at spas comes from somewhere, and in this case, it's Louisville, Colorado.
You know what, Wind Machine? I apologize.
Wait, according to the waveform, we're about to get into something big and heavy.
Okay.
Any minute now.
Okay.
Brace yourself. Here it comes. Oh, that's garbage.
In a world of virginity and mistakes, one machine blew them all away.
It will make you bleed like you've never bled before.
No!
It's Wind Machine.
Hold on to your hymen. There's a Wind Machine coming.
Formerly
it's
the group known as the Bleedles.
Apart.
The Bleedles!
I lost track of where we were.
The Bleedles! I regret everything.
You can find more information about the podcast visually for all our episodes. And speaking of our episodes, we're going to be taking the May 89 quiz in a couple of weeks. But you can take it now, and we'll put it up online at listentosassy.com. Find out what's your addictability, and then
take
call
it four times. Yeah.
Take it four times, and then call us. Call us again, and then keep calling us about voicemails, about how it went. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Keep riding this good feeling all the way out, and we're going to see you again real soon. That's right, Tara. That's right.
Wow.
Oh, that's going to be a nightmare to edit, but that was funny.
Good luck.
Confused asks, hey, I'm 13 and I'm sort of new with my period and the summer days are coming up and that means swimming. I love to swim, but what do I do when I'm having my period and I want to go swimming? Do I just not go? Do I wear a tampon or what? Please help me soon. And they're like, yeah, man, use a tampon. And
that's bad advice.
Oh,
I asked Tara earlier and what she said is a big gob of Vaseline.
Ew.
Nothing gets by that.
Oh, my God.
Call back.
Honey, just put it in there. Samantha and Tara give you advice. Is he water soluble? I'm out of practice now that she's not in just like that. Okay. Listen. It does. I only brought this up because it ends with one more thing. Whenever you wear a tampon, be sure to change it every few hours to avoid any chance of getting toxic shock syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Tara's still here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only see her from the waist up in these things.
That's right.
Tara Ariano, celebrated TV critic and podcast enthusiast, dead from toxic shock syndrome at the age of 37.
Pam, you got me. My entire bottom half is rotted away from toxic shock syndrome.
Yeah. She has to ride around in Captain Pike's little black thing from Star Trek until they communicate with beeps. Yep. This is all AI stuff that we're hearing right now. Tara's actually just like, Tara, how you doing? Beep. Beep. Communicate stuff.
Well.
Yes, Tara? Yes, we'll get dinner after this. Don't you worry.
Why do you have that right there? What is it for usually?
It's from Esther Huckray.
Oh. I forget he has other things.
What's that,
there.
Tara? Oh, it's from Extra Hot Crate.
It's from an Isaac Asimov adaptation called The Ugly Little Boy.
Hmm.
He wasn't ugly. He was Neanderthal. Moving on.
All right. Let's just cut all of help. I'm going to read M. Edwards forever if you keep this shit up.
I think you have to now.
There was a child locked in a cage with four walls made of stone. How was she to know that he was wrong to do this to her? And she had nothing to compare. It is normal for both her and for him. They need no different. I don't know who I was on that last line. I apologize. It's hard to blame. It's because even McConaughey's like, I can't do it. I can't do this one. It's hard to blame for both knew no better. He to stop or she to say stop. Who's to blame, him or just parents mistreated at youth? Who's to blame, her or generations of naive children? There was a child.
All right, last one, Pee-wee. Last one, Pee-wee. Last paragraph, Pee-wee.
There is a child. Wait.
A child locked in a cage forever and ever.
Thank you. M. Edwards. Somebody save the cage.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.